This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number four here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now for the Eric Kendrick Show here on your home of the Cowboys. It's brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper, and Eric Kendrick's joining us now here in the G-Bag Nation. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up?
Well, you tell us it's Halloween. How big of a deal is that in the Kendrick's household today?
I think we're gonna meet up with some family just for a little bit of Halloween festivities. I'm finding out right now for my wife texting me, but yeah, should be fun. You know, I feel like anytime you can get the kids together a little bit, you know.
Now go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to follow up about the kids there. Have they been fired up about this deal? Do they know what to expect?
My son doesn't know at all. You know, he's a year and a half old. We got a costume for him that we picked out. So he's going to be either ticked off that it's going to be too, you know, he's not going to want to wear it, or he's going to be vibing, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah. Where are you on the Halloween candy?
I feel like I used to be big into the Halloween candy. I feel like I used to be super big into it. But, you know, now I'm just way more selective with what I enjoy as far as candy is concerned.
What was your favorite?
My favorite growing up was like chocolate. I would say it would be like the what's the one with the caramel in it? And then it's like Rolos.
Rolos, bro.
Oh, Rolos. Yeah. Underrated.
Yeah. Very underrated. Crazy. That's a good take.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you have your Skittles, I mean, classic, but I'm a Sour Patch Kids guy, but, you know, you're not really getting those in the Halloween pack, though.
No, they are a treasure when you find them.
They're amazing, right?
Yeah. A Halloween-themed show here today. We were just talking about the scariest NFL players of all time.
Oh.
Do you have a guy in mind?
Scariest NFL players of all time. Shoot. Linval Joseph has to be up in there somewhere.
Nice.
Makes him so scary?
I feel like it's the gentle giant type of attitude. Like, you catch him off the field, like, you're like, this is the nicest guy ever. You know, this guy is, man, what a guy. And then you flip that switch on him, and you're like, this guy's crazy. But I think that's what makes the football players. I mean, that's across the league. I feel like, you know, there's guys who can just flip the switch like that.
But you've never been scared on a football field?
I've never been scared on a football field. I mean, oh, yeah. No, actually, that's a lie. I have been scared on the football field. When I was sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, freshman year in high school, I was a little bit nervous out there. I can't lie. I feel like that's what people always ask me advice. Like, man, my son's, you know, he's not really into it. He's kind of timid. Like, well, do you have any advice? And I'm like, what, how old is he? And they're like, you know, he's 13 years old. And I'm like, oh, wait, I was scared at that time, too. So he has time.
Kind of grow out of it.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just like one. I feel like my sophomore year, you know, I started to grow into my body. I finally matured. And then things started to click for me. And all of a sudden, like, I was a football player.
And since then, people have been scared of you.
Just chase people down.
Now, if you're not doing candy, what are you snacking on, like, in the film room or something? There's got to be – you got to have something next to you, right?
It's the sunflower seeds, the pistachios. I'm a big seed guy, but, I mean, shoot. I like potato chips, I guess. I don't know.
Big respect on that.
I don't do, like, the Doritos or anything like that because of the corn, but, you know, I try to – if I do any type of chips, potato chips.
What about these nuts?
I'm not a big D's nuts kind of guy, you know.
How funny was that? How much have you guys talked about D's nuts in the locker room this week? You've set a record, I'm sure.
No, I don't even know what you're referring to, but I actually do know what you're referring to.
Okay,
actually,
okay.
I'm like, what are you talking about? No, we actually hasn't talked about that at all. But yeah, that was, man. Wait, funny.
You've never D's nuts to a reporter?
I've never done that, but, you know, man, these, you know, reporters get kind of bold sometimes, you know.
I was going to ask you that, Eric. You don't have to say anything specific, but do you get mad at reporters occasionally? Is it something that, you know, I mean, you're a pro's pro when you handle things with, I mean, you've been great with us, but Do you get mad and just kind of keep it to yourself, or you know, how do you handle things like that?
You know, honestly, it's just when I get upset when they take the human aspect out of it. Like, okay, you're in our locker room, you know, right. And it's like, you know, this is something that we care about, you know, we work our butts off for. So it's like, obviously we have a ton invested into our body, you know, the way we feel, we're our families, you know what I mean? Like blood, sweat and tears into this. So we're invested into it. And then when you come to us and then you kind of take the human aspect out of that and you just kind of treat us like we're either stupid or, you know, mm-hmm. You know, just blatantly kind of disrespect us. Like we don't know, you know, what's going on. That's when it kind of like you can get upset, you know, you have a human reaction, you know? Right. So it's like, you know, just, you know, obviously everybody has a job to do. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, some days I'm not more irritable than others, but at the same time, like, you know, I try to treat everybody, you know, no matter who they are, no matter, you know, what position of power they are in, I try to treat everybody with respect, you know, and I hope that I get the same back.
Do you find the media around the Cowboys to be overly critical? And how would you kind of break down where the Cowboys are at right now if you were to put your media cap on?
I mean, media is just going to be what it is. You know, I feel like there's more of it, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and say it's more critical than others, but, you know, obviously I think it is. But you know, I mean, this is the job we do. This is the, you know, we know what we're getting ourselves into. We gotta, you know, we know what we gotta do this week. And, you know, if we don't want to, you know, face bad questions like that, we gotta play better. So, hey, let's do it.
Does it, I mean, and this is my last question on this, Eric, does it bother you though, when media members talk about a specific play and they really don't know how the play should break down? That, you know, that it turns into maybe some blame and, hey, that they don't know. Is that more disappointing to you than, or is it just the like you said, the human aspect side of things?
No, I mean, that definitely gets you a little bit fired up too. You know, Twitter and things like that, when it's like you're talking about a specific play and people sure. think that, you know, you could be at fault, but you really couldn't, you know, you're not going to try to throw your teammates under the bus, but right. like, you know, it's like you have no idea who's supposed to be blitzing, who's covering who.
Right.
Sometimes it's just the closest person to that person. So, you know, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. But, you know, that's why you try to keep things internal. And, you know, the guys on the team who know, that's who you kind of care about. You got to lean on that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, that's the job we have. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, things do get heated sometimes. But, you know, it's part of it.
Eric Hendricks with us on The Fan. You were all over the field against San Francisco. I was wondering, like, what your GPS numbers were like after that, dude. I mean, you're hauling ass to take a tight end, a halfback, those wheel routes. You were all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, that's how I like to be, you know, at the same time. So, you know, anywhere I can be to help, you know, I'm down for it. So, you know, if I need to be doing whatever, let's do it.
Well, you congrats. You surprised us last week when you were out there after talking to you on Thursday. We were like, I don't know, this seems like a bit of a close call. How close was it?
Yeah, you know, this game means so much. And, you know, I feel like obviously, you know, injuries come into play here and there, you know, is when you talk about football. But, you know, I feel like if people really knew, you know, the kind of work you put in behind the scenes to just, you know, be able to be there for your teammates, you know, it means a lot. So, you know, I was happy I can, you know, get out there and, you know, just looking to stack on it.
Is pain something that you can block out as long as you have your strength, or how do you approach that?
It's, you know, it just varies, you know, it's something that, you know, everybody deals with, especially, you know, on the field. Everybody has a different level of, you know, different tolerance, different, you know, things that affect, you know, maybe it affects your play more than others, you know, you know, maybe you could have so much pain where it's, you're actually hurting your team, and that's when, you know, you got to reassess, and you're hurting yourself too. So, you know, everybody's different. I don't really know how to really answer that. You know, but
were you in pain Sunday?
My dad always used to tell me, you know, when I got into playing, he used to, you know, I think it was like from like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, like, you know, the times where, you know, I was just explaining earlier how I was a little bit nervous and timid. My dad used to tell me as I got you know, older and older, you know, I got to high school, senior year, I started getting offers. He used to tell me, you know, this game hurts, son. So, yeah. You know, are you sure? You know, type thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the game we love, though. So
you get to play against Atlanta this week. Kirk Cousins, a guy I assume you know pretty well. What's the book on Kirk Cochains?
Kirk, that's my guy. You know, not this week, obviously. But at the same time, you know, got a lot of respect for him. You know, he's been playing great. Yeah, I feel like their offense, they have a lot of weapons, and they spread the ball pretty evenly. You know, they run the ball pretty well. So it's going to be a good challenge. But, you know, it's a new week. You know, obviously things didn't go how we wanted to last week. That was last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to keep the vibes, you know, from the vibe. I'm just trying to be consistent on my approach and how I handle things. And you know, it'll pay off. It'll pay off eventually.
Now, I was watching the video from 2022 with him on the airplane with his shirt off dancing, and I'm trying to find you here in this video. Did you have a good view of that day?
Yeah, I think I was on the other side where the video was probably being taken. I feel like oftentimes in the league, you know, I feel like even when, you know, Kirk first got to the Minnesota, I feel like, you know, you kind of feel nervous about showing your true personality because you don't know how, you know, the media is going to take it and mm-hmm. this and that. So I'm happy to see that as we played there, you know, I include myself in this because I've gotten more comfortable with the media too. But, you know, as far as Kirk, you know, he has a lot of intention on him. So I like that he, you know, his personality is now coming out for everyone to see. And, you know, obviously now all the funny stuff's coming out. So, you know, it makes the NFL fun.
How's our boy Zimmer doing right now, man? I'm curious, has he had any type of explosions, any meltdowns, anything like that?
I feel like we're just locked in right now. You know, everyone's just trying to, you know, get the job done and focus. So, you know, that's been the priority, and that's no meltdowns, no nothing like that. Just straight focus and you know, back to work mentality. So, you know, we had a really good practice today. We've had great walkthroughs, you know, attention to detail, adjustments, all that stuff, and you know, got to get it done.
Tough one in San Francisco. You guys really put it together a heck of an effort there in the fourth quarter. We'll be rooting for you once again as you take on the Falcons, man. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate it.
Here at Kendrick Show. Yes, sir. Salute. Brought to you by Keurig and brought to you by Dr. Pepper. And another good one in the books. I mean, he's been tremendous here as we hit the midway point. We're definitely excited about, you know, more of these throughout the year and getting his perspective on things. And maybe this, you know, season could get turned around here starting today. Brian did a heck of a film breakdown back there in the 340 in Krusty's Corner, which he does for you every Thursday. And this Falcons team is one that the Cowboys can absolutely throw on.
Yeah, you can. And Eric and them are going to have their hands full, you know, with this offense. Quarterbacks stand in the middle of the pocket. Receivers are going to play a lot of 11 personnel. Got two quality backs they can throw it to, you know, but you can get some pressure on their front. But where you need to really, you know, Dallas's offense needs to find a way to put some points on the board. Got a little bit better in the red zone last week, going to have some opportunities hopefully this week. You know, find the coverage, find the guys to pick on a little bit, protect the front. They don't have a really, you know, Matthew Judon is a good pass rusher, but he hasn't been as good as he has in the past. And so, you know, just find a way to take care of him and go out there and make some plays. You know, go out there and find a way to keep the ball moving, to stay ahead of the chains, all the cliche things you want to say really apply to this game because you can move the ball in the Atlanta Falcons. But if you don't and you flop around and lose this game, well, then that's on you. And that's kind of who you are for the, you know, for what we've seen. And unfortunately, that's how the discussion will continue to be.
Am I a schmo? Cause I'm kind of just like thinking I might end up going to pick the Cowboys for this game. Like, no. Dak's calling it a must-win. You're giving us the report on how vulnerable their defense is.
I'm just saying their defense.
Dak is, like, very excited about this particular game plan that they got going. Like, this could be a game that they find a way to win.
It's definitely a winnable game for them. There's no question. It'll be, can you get any pressure on Kirk Cousins? Because we know throughout his career that can be an issue for him. And they might, you know, it might end up taking blitzes. I mean, you've talked about the overshown, maybe you're able to get a plus matchup for him. Maybe it's Eric Kendricks. We haven't really seen him have success there outside of that Cleveland game when it comes to a blitz. But I mean, I thought Mike Zimmer was showing a lot of different looks against San Francisco. Unfortunately, the third quarter, things kind of broke a little bit, but it's definitely a winnable matchup. I mean, Atlanta is a team that is beatable.
Yeah, and it's in Atlanta, right?
Yep.
It is.
Cowboys better on the road than at home this year. What's the point spread? A couple of points?
Let's see. I mean,
two and a half in favor of the Falcons. I'd feel pretty good about betting the Cowboys with the points here this week, but the injuries are a significant factor. We'll get you the latest on Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, Deron Bland, and more as we hit the expressway. We're going commercial free to the top. LA Alive's coming up at 5:40, and we're back with more here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and time now to hit the expressway. We're taking the commercial free to the top every night of this time. LA Live's coming up at 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Expressway, we take a look at everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day. Steven Jones was back on the San Antonio Sports Star this afternoon, said Micah Parsons is a shot to play Sunday at Atlanta, but I would call it a long shot. See, I just think these injuries have mounted so much, Wolchuk, that it's very difficult. You know, once these Cowboys get 100% healthy, we can talk about them being good enough to beat playoff teams, possibly if they play well, but right now, it's just way too much, isn't it?
It's a lot. I mean, it certainly is. I guess I would feel better if I had seen the defense perform well with Micah in the lineup, and they didn't. So I guess like it's a little bit hard for me to talk myself into that's going to fix things. But, hey, Micah plus Deron Bland, right? I mean, Bland certainly will help things a lot. And he's going to be fresh. I guess that's one thing when you look at this injury with Micah. We've talked about later in the season, maybe his body getting worn down. Now he's going to have had about a month off trying to heal from this high ankle sprain. Maybe that could help out him being a little bit more of a disruptive presence at the back half of the season.
Now, what do we know about Deron Bland? He's good to go?
I would keep an eye on that one. They're still kind of working through some things there, so I'd keep an eye. Just like I say, the injury report has not yet come out, right?
No, it is out.
It's out.
Yeah, that's a DNP for Deron Bland.
I would say then they're kind of trending to him not playing then.
And a DNP for Trayvon Diggs, who's got that calf. This is a second day in a row.
Yeah, I've circled back with some folks. Let's see if we can.
I mean, this is candy from a baby. You can't rush the passer. You can't stop the run, and your corners are out. Your safeties are bad.
Yeah,
both your corners are out. That's gonna be that's too much.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a situation with Diggs where he's legitimately injured here, and this isn't one of those rest things. This is something that they're going to have to work through.
I've said the last couple of weeks, got to score 30 to win here, got to score 35 to beat Detroit. I think this is 40, man. You're going to Atlanta. They have a good offense. You're not playing in prime time, so it's going to be a good version of Kirk Cousins.
Totally, yeah.
And I just don't know how you're going to make any stops. You know, I think this might be a no-punt game for the Falcons. Okay, Dak Prescott said Sunday's game against the Falcons is a must-win game for the Cowboys. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, their season's kind of at that fork in the road right now, and you just can't. You kind of feel like that the Commanders are going to go and take care of business against the Giants, and that'll be their seventh win. And you know, you can't keep falling back. I mean, the way to get in, I think, is you're going to have to win the division.
Yeah, that Hail Mary was huge.
Yeah, so
and Philly's playing well.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Best game of the season. Yeah,
yeah, you could be in a situation where it's just. Yeah, you can't give away. I mean, you can't just keep, you know, having games, you know, taking losses, because what's going to happen is like your schedule doesn't get any easier. I mean, it really, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, Commanders. I mean, it does, you know, by the time you get to Thanksgiving, you could be 3-6.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because if they win the game, then you probably think the offense got going to some extent, especially with the status of the defense here. If they win the game, they probably scored at least 30 points, as you mentioned. So that would be something that could make you feel like, okay, because if you can't get your offense going in this game,
right,
with the scouting report that you just gave us about this Falcons defense. Right. Then if you can't put up at least 25 to 30 legit points, not when the game's out of hand and then you go put up a couple of touchdowns to make it look better. If you can't put up a legit 25 to 30 points against this team, then I think you can totally put to rest the idea that your offense will get it together any point this season.
Yeah, you need to keep your head above water at least till Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, if it's to stay 500, you can't go 2-3 games.
I mean, you can't drop 500. Yeah. To drop to 3-5, it's... To me, you're pretty much done when you look at the rest of the NFC.
I mean, I look at left tackle and center and some of these young wide receivers and say, can we just build and be better by the end of the year? Can we get better today? It's a must-get-better week We have to start evolving so we can look at 2025 and 2026 like this organization is going to pull out of this little soft rebuild that they're in and start being credible. If they can't stay in games, if they can't move the ball, if they can't get first downs and their defense is trending in the wrong direction by the end of the year, I think I'll pick them to be the worst team in the division next year. You know, that's the way it is headed. That's the way they've looked for way too many points this season. Prescott on his picks, I've got to be better. Simple as that. Says there was a moment in Sunday's game when CD told him we're back. And they were having a party, weren't they? I mean, right before they took the field, it looked like they were celebrating a win, like they just got the clinching touchdown. They're up two scores with 5 minutes to go, not needing to force a punt and then go down the field and score another. But they were very confident, and you know, I don't think they have a right to be. You know, in retrospect, a couple of good drives against a team that's up 20 points. You know, that's not really it. But as far as Dak saying, I got to be better, how do you want him to handle these situations? He's back to pass. He doesn't want to run. Is it just throw it away? Are we okay with Dak throwing it away more?
Yes. I can't recall in his entire career that that's ever been really a part of his game. If it's not there to be made, and I get it, he's probably feeling like I've got to be Superman, because that's kind of what they're asking him to do right now. With a lack of help, a bad scheme, whatever you want to call it, he's probably pressing at times. And he is throwing some forced balls where, hey, last year maybe that worked for him, but it's not working for him now. So, yes, live to play another day. Because, I mean, turning the football over and now putting your defense, who's already hobbled, on possibly a short field is a recipe for disaster. So just play smart, play within the game plan, play within yourself. I mean, it's hard. If you had all of your parts, maybe here and there you can pick your places, be a little bit risky. But some of the decision-making was just awful. He can't have that. In year nine, he knows that. He can't be forcing some of these foot throws that he's trying to make.
Yeah, two years ago when every national program was leading their broadcast with talking about Dak interceptions, maybe, you know, 60% not his fault. Right now, you're looking at every one you're looking at is pretty much ones that he's got to be better at. And so, you know, that's it was a time where we were like, well, let's look at the interceptions. There were 15 of them. You know, you're trending in the wrong way. You've got 8 right now as you speak.
You don't want to have a 24 interception season, you know, and that kind of stuff is possible, I think, if you continue to play bad defense and try to force the ball into situations. At the same time, you don't want to give up as a player. You don't want to do what Eli Manning did in his mid-30s and just be like, okay, I guess we're not very good. I'm throwing the ball away again. That's another kind of horrible. Anyway, Zach Martin on the Cowboys' offensive challenges this season. I think our former Cowboys weekly guest might be trying to tell us something here. He says everything starts with a running game, and I think a lot of our struggles have been because we haven't been efficient in the run game. Totally agree. He says we have the guys. We just have to take ownership of it, and we've got to go. I think he's telling us we have a good running back, but the owner won't let us play him. What do you think, Brian? You think Jerry would give a code Zeke?
Well, I think that the one thing that he does have the right to do, and owner I think is different, but the fact that he does have the title of general manager,
mm-hmm.
it makes it a little bit different. If it's owner walking down the hall and saying, hey, by the way, we need to do this. I've seen that before, but the fact that he is the general manager of the team, you know, I've seen general managers make a lot of suggestions. Could he be doing that? He absolutely could be. He could absolutely be walking down the hall and saying, listen, we need to play Zeke. I feel like we need to play Zeke. And as the head coach and as the coaching staff, you know, you serve to the pleasure of the general manager, you know, and that's the way football works. So I think that's different than maybe if Jerry did not have the general manager's title. And he was walking down there as owner and saying, hey, we need to do this. I think that's different.
Yeah, maybe because of the title, but, you know, with the principality of how it occurs.
He is the general manager, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, by title.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, he's been the general manager since really 1994.
Hasn't been a good one. You know, and I think this is the problem.
That's not the question. You know, the question was, you know, the question.
Well, no, you're choosing it to answer just from, well, that's his title. He's the general manager. And he's just like any other NFL GM. He's not. Well, it's a major problem if he's doing that for business reasons. You know, this is the problem, Brian. This is the problem. This is the problem.
Yeah.
Is the old guard will not call him out for this. You're sitting there making excuses for him.
I've gone plenty much after this, the way I just went on a rant about what's going on with this head coach and trying to figure things out. I think I've been more than critical of that about it. I'm just telling you.
So if Jerry Jones is going to the coaches and saying, we need to play Zeke, not the guy getting two more yards per attempt, that's just his right? That's your take?
Yes, I am, because he is the general manager of the team.
Yeah, well, also something you can do in sports radio is say you're doing a horrible job.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be happening. That's a fair thing to say as well.
You know what, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just giving you an answer of why he, as the general manager, I'm just saying from my own personal experiences, as a general manager, they have the prerogative to go and tell the head coach who they think should play. And, you know, the head coach and them talk about it. So if you don't want to believe me for that, then I can't help you.
Well, I do believe you for that. I know that's how that happens.
But, you know, and so that's how it works.
Yeah.
And yeah, is he a horrible general manager? In your eyes, yes. To a lot of people,
because he doesn't do the work as a GM. He just has the title of GM because he's the owner. He wants to play GM. You know, the real GMs are Steve and Will.
Yeah. Well, maybe Steve and Will are, and they're telling them the same thing. You know, I'm just telling you, if you asked me the question, is Jerry Jones, you think he's doing that? And I said, yes. As a general manager, yes. I think so. I do believe that. That's all I could say. That's my experience.
I mean, you also tell us he's great at listening. This wouldn't be an example of Jerry listening to the smart people who would be making a decision like this in his organization.
You continue to call back everything I've ever said about Jerry Jones, then, if that's what you want to do. And I'll say, yeah, I did say that. Yep, you're right. I said that too. I just had experience working with him. I'm just trying to convey that to you as well, you know. I mean, I've sat in that chair where you haven't.
To me, it felt like, well, I know, and I appreciate your perspective, yeah. Brian, but to me, it felt like I was saying, hey, here's something that's wrong with why you can't run the football.
Yeah.
And you're choosing to take it a completely different way. Like, well, that's Jerry Jones' right as a GM.
I just said my experience is general managers all the time. I never said that's his prerogative to do. I said, as a general manager, other general managers around the league suggest players to play. That's all I said.
And why would you say they're doing that? Why are they suggesting players?
Maybe that they feel like that the coaches aren't playing the right guy.
Yeah.
That maybe they feel like that, but you know.
And if Jerry was doing this with Zeke.
You'll take it as he's selling jerseys. Bit.
Yes.
And TV ratings. And TV ratings.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't particularly agree with that.
So you think Jerry really believes Zeke is better than Rico Dowdle?
I think he does.
I think he does too.
I think he does. I think that, and you know, you can say my goodness to me, but you know, keep the pressure on Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, as my experience of working with the man, that you know that there's certain things that he believes. You know, he believes that, you know, there's you know, hey, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. You know, I'm just telling you my experience, and as you know, and I get it. You think it's entitled, and you're right. He's not your traditional general manager. He doesn't go on the road and scout. He doesn't do things that other general managers do. But what he does is his responsibility is like, we need to do this or we need to do that. And as the general manager of the team, you serve through the pleasure of the general manager. That's the way it works. That's the chain of command.
Coaches never say, GM, man, you're crazy.
You know what? Mike McCarthy could say, okay, fine. Yeah, sure. Mike McCarthy could have done that in the Detroit game when Jerry maybe asked him to play him more. He could have said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to play him and I'm going to show you this guy can't play. I'm going to show you that he can't play. You know, that's maybe Mike's doing that right now. Mike's fine. Fine. You want to play this? You want to keep playing this guy? Fine. We'll keep playing him, and I'll show you he can't play anymore. And then Jerry at the end of the year could say, listen, Mike, hey, thank you very much. I'm gonna go get another head coach here. You know. That's a general manager right there. He is not your traditional general manager. But trust me, he will make suggestions on what needs to be done.
Well, if I was Mike, I might send him Ed Werder's tweet from this afternoon. The Cowboys are last in the NFL in rushing at 74 yards per game. The only time Dallas has finished last in the NFL was their inaugural season in 1960.
Yep.
That's how long it's been. And, you know, maybe it's due to perhaps the worst GM in the history of the league
force feeding a running back on the coaching staff. And I just don't get it. If you're the coaching staff, Mike McCarthy, you know where this is going. Put your foot down. You know it's frustrated you. You talked about it very early in your run as Cowboys coach that you nobody else has to deal with this in the rest of the league.
There might be some quit in your head coach right now when it comes to having to deal with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, and I would feel that quit.
Like, you know, it's like,
and
listen,
I would say, okay,
hey, I got 10 more weeks.
I'm going to burn the thing down before I quit.
And then
fire me.
That would be
the best thing he could do for Cowboys fans right now.
If the team quits on him, Jerry Jones has fired a head coach for a team quitting on him. I don't think this team will quit on Mike McCarthy. I just don't. I think Mike McCarthy has their respect. I don't think they're playing particularly well. I don't think he's coaching particularly well. There's a lot going on here. I mean, a lot going on with that. But, you know, if Mike McCarthy's like, fine, Jerry, whatever you want to do. Mike's probably closed his door and goes, honey, we've got 10 more weeks of this.
Yeah.
You know, get the house ready. We're going to get at it. We're probably not going to come back, you know. They're like, hey, whatever you want to do, Jerry, whatever you want to do. You want to hold press conferences after the game? Sure. Go ahead. You want to talk on the radio twice a week? Keep doing that. You know, just keep doing what you want to do. That's fine. You know, as long as the check comes every Tuesday, I'm just good. You know?
Yeah, I could see that. You know, just playing out the string.
Maintaining
relationships.
I don't think he knew what he was getting into when he took this job. I think right now he fully understands what this job is.
Help us out, Mike. Please blow the horn on your way out and spell it out for everybody.
Oh,
so
he
maybe
probably
we'll,
will.
Maybe I'll we'll have a so. Fighting chance.
Yeah. I love that. He's just like he's giving the ball to Zeke on first and 10 just to spite Jerry.
You could, like that up there? Right, hey,
could
yeah,
very
like
well
that?
Be.
Another
could
two.
Well.
What'd you think, bud? Yeah. That was a great suggestion.
Second and 11. Here we go.
He
boys.
Said it today. He doesn't like running back by committee, but that's what they are right now.
Yeah.
They are running back by committee. And so, yeah, Mike's
except for one game, right, against Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Where they fed Rico Dowdle, and that was their best rushing game of the season.
Agreed.
100%, right?
Agreed.
I think
Agreed.
Mike told you there, that's the guy he wants to rock with. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think GM Jerry does, and that's the problem. And that's what I think a lot of fans are pissed off about, is he does have a right to do that. You're 100% right. And other GMs do that. But with him, it gets to be personal, and you have the owner bleeding into the GM. Well, who's really talking? Is it the owner? Is it the GM? And it does come back to that seems to be an issue.
I think the owner in Indianapolis said, I don't want to see Richardson playing anymore. Chris Ballard, I do not want to see Richardson playing anymore.
Made his football team better. More than Jerry can do with his
I think
meddling.
You're right about that, too. Yeah. And Ursa also seems kind of dysfunctional.
Mavs game night. You got the Rockets in town. I'm just hoping for... You know, more great defense by the Mavs. You know, maybe Luka gets his way out of a slump, but rebounding advantage, low turnover, all the things you can control. I think this team is laser focused. I can't wait to watch them tonight, perfecting the small things as they try to make this team incrementally better month in and month out. Hopefully be good enough to get back to the finals and win it this time. All righty, time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has an addition. I wanted to give you a little buffer.
Yeah,
of LA
thank you. I appreciate that.
Go Mavs. Go get Rangers.
And the Mavs will pay tonight. He's wiping off the blood from his knuckles.
Yeah. Up on my nose. Yeah, I feel battered
too.
Over here.
That too.
I haven't
that
felt this
too.
Attack since Sandler.
That's a slugfest, boys. Bravo.
I felt the same way.
Yes,
man. I gotta wipe the blood out of my nose.
Yeah. Hey, Woolchuck. Can you do some Buffalo Wild Wings conversations?
Yeah, let's do it, because we just had a nice football talk.
Yeah.
And guess what? That 5 o'clock football talk and this entire hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football.
Half-off bonus swings at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight.
They do this twice. One is the whole wings. Well, not the whole wings, but like the, you know.
Bone-in.
The bone-in. Yeah, thank you, bro.
Maybe you know where I'm stopping on the way home. Last night to get fat before our
wings. Now.
Yeah, we got the weigh-in. Tomorrow,
hey,
right?
Don't sleep on that B-Dubs burger either. B-Dubs is messing around with the burgers.
Listen,
right now.
Man, every time I go to a wing spot, whether it be Hooters, B-Dubs, whatever, I look at the menu, and I'm like, man, I'm going to try this burger. It looks pretty good, that photo does. But then I'm like, I'm at a wing spot. I got to get the wings.
Yeah, and I get that.
I got to get the wings.
You've had the onion rings, though, right?
Yeah. Yes, I've had the onion rings.
They are damn good. They're I did good. Not expect them to be good. They're good there.
These wings places that, like you say, the Buffalo Wild Wings, when they do like the burger but with the blue cheese on it,
oh.
I mean, I'm like...
You're in?
I'm totally in, because I think they've got enough... They understand the grease content with the wings, and they're going to make it kind of like...
Blue cheese with the bacon.
With the bacon and the greasy God. Burger.
And then you get it. Just ask for like a side of buffalo sauce or whatever that they have for their
dip
wings, and now you're
that.
Dipping.
Yeah,
and
really,
it's pretty impressive.
Come on, bro. All right, let's get into a ladies' night edition of LA Live, Thirsty Thursday, Halloween.
All right, you squares.
It's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. Hey, it'll make it dance some of everything. Everybody get high.
Ladies!
What is it? You got me chocolate.
Yep, your favorite.
I love chocolate.
I know. All girls love chocolate.
Wait, how do you know all girls love chocolate?
It's just a thing.
Have you bought another girl chocolate?
That's not what I was insinuating when I said I
bought
chocolate.
But have you bought another girl chocolate?
No, that's not what I was trying to say when
but
I
have
said,
you bought
yes,
another
yes, girl, yes, I bought another girl chocolate. What? I've dated in the past.
Okay, I don't want anything that you bought for another woman, Gus.
I bought lots of food.
Okay, don't buy me any
okay,
of
cool.
the same
so,
food.
So no tacos, no pasta, no wings, no pizza, no Mexican food, no nothing, Ray. No nothing then. No boba? No, nothing, exactly.
Not the boba.
Pretty sure I bought someone f***ing coffee before. A little dramatic. That was a little dramatic.
Well, that was handled well.
I think you handled that well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she backed off.
Yeah.
She backed off. Yeah. Most times they don't back off.
Uh-uh. No.
They'll find another angle to poke you with.
Damn, you said
if they can't re-raise, they'll be like, oh my goodness, you're so hurtful and mean.
Yeah. Oh, come on. They're so manipulative, dog.
They are, dude.
So manipulative, man. I've never heard my girl apologize to me one single time in my life.
Me too.
Never heard her say sorry. She starts doing things.
That little that wall over there in your little room needs another TV. What do you think? I seen one on Amazon.
Wow. Starts buttering you up.
Like, you were such a bee yesterday, bro.
Oh my God.
You threatened to break my phone. All right, it's a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Happy Halloween, people.
Yeah.
Ladies. Special happy holiday to you as well. This is your holiday to shine. You hear me?
It's a lot of effort out there.
Holiday to shine. I cannot wait to scroll down the timeline and see what you guys did.
Yep.
I will be taking the dogs out for a walk so they can see the kitties in their little uniforms and whatnot, all their costumes. I'll try to put on the dogs' costumes, but they don't be sitting still.
No.
I ain't got the time. Did you guys do any Halloween parties?
Back in the day.
No, I'm talking about this season, right here.
No, sir.
Sean's. We went to Sean's and we had the unfortunate wall chuck spill into the pool.
Halloween parties or fall festivals, whichever one you want to fall into. Cedar Springs had theirs last week.
Oh, geez.
The whole street was full with a whole lot of people out there. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Good stuff out there. Is Saturday too late? This Saturday too late for a Halloween party?
No, I don't think so.
It's fine.
You get into the weekend for sure.
Yeah.
But you go with the same costume?
Last week was Halloween weekend, man. I mean, it's November now.
Right. Like, it's a whole different month.
Lives have changed.
Yeah.
It's a tough call. At that point, you're just having a costume party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Which is cool. We're adults. We all get it.
Yeah.
But it is a whole nother month. Two days past the holiday.
Yeah, but are you going in the same costume you went out in? If you're going to another party, I mean, are you dressing up something
different? If it won me money, definitely running that thing back.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to. Because if it's Saturday, all the little Halloween places are closed, right?
Yeah. And these costumes these days are expensive. I mean, to put together a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Cool. I don't know if I can do two.
Bring back the plastic mask.
Yes. With the Superman face with the holes cut out.
With the hole in the little mouth there.
Yeah. Just make one out of a paper plate.
Yeah, who are you? I'm Superman, lady. Can't you tell?
Dude, I think the coolest mask of all time, though, is the Scream mask that you, like, squeeze the blood pumper and then the blood rushes into the face or whatever. I think from a mask standpoint, that's got to be the one seed, dude.
Shout out to that dude that was in the gym today with a poo shiesty mask on while he was working out.
Oh, wow.
You talk about nerve wracking every once in a while. You see it in the mirror. You're like, oh, hey, oh.
Yeah, was he doing a bit, like on a live stream?
Nah, he had I think possibly, maybe, he had a guy following him. I don't know. But he had a guy following him with a camera, and every once in a while he was talking to it. But he had a whole poo shiesty mask on while working out. Jarring. If you don't know it's there, all of a sudden you just look over and see a guy with a poo shiesty mask on. I'm about to get robbed.
Lucius, I'm thinking of a new idea for a weight room thing. What if you had people that you hired out to film you while you're working out? Like you had people like they were part of the weight staff, you know, or like they were content
creator.
The gym provides somebody to follow you around.
Like a production
you
team?
You got to pay. Yeah. You got to pay. It's part of your membership.
Your package. You get the influencer package.
Yeah, you have somebody, they follow you, they edit it, and then they give it to you, kind of a thing?
I can see that happening because the gym that I go to is basically for influencers. The vibe in there, like the lights,
the music.
Neon lights, all these mirrors and stuff, it's basically made for them, so they should make a package happen.
Yeah.
What age did you guys start learning how to drive?
15.
Not until 15 and a half.
15, yeah.
My dad was...
Like, you started at 15? Like, this is the first time you touched the steering wheel?
I think I'd gone up and down the driveway maybe at 14 a couple of times.
Wow.
Drove a go-kart at 12 really well, but my dad was just, like, paranoid that we were going to run into something. The insurance was going to have to get involved. We could lose the house, you know?
Okay.
So he's still that way.
14. How about you, Wooly?
Yeah, probably about 14, 15.
14, 15. Eric seems like he's a little young.
Really? No, I mean, like, my dad would let us, like, sit on his lap or whatever when we were younger, like, drive through the neighborhood, steer.
Yeah.
You know, but I never was like, hey, 13 years old, tall enough to touch the pedal and go ahead. Never did it.
Right, I let Abby drive home. She's 12 right now.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
She's good at it.
There we go.
You know? I get a little worried when we're pulling in that she's going to run it right into the garage door like her mom.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother story.
I had a mini bike before I had a car. So I was already,
I used to beg and beg my dad to buy me a mini bike.
Yeah, we went to the old Kmart, and we were going to get a football. And dad saw the mini bike. We didn't buy the football. We bought the mini bike.
It's like a little crotch rocket kind of deal.
It was so a little spoiled,
no, no helmet, no nothing.
How long did it run for?
Oh, it got stolen. Got stolen out of the backyard. I parked it out back, and it got stolen. Mm. And then I had it for a couple of years. But, I was 12 years old.
A little foreshadowing with your Chevy pickup.
So when did you start being a wheel man? At what age did you start?
14.
14.
Yeah.
Okay, damn. All right. I guess I'm the youngest in this game.
Yeah, I was. Like, we would go to, like, we'd go to the lake or the ranch or something, and I would drive truck and stuff like that. That's where I learned to kind of drive a little bit. Yeah.
Lucius?
Yeah, I was about 12 years old when I started driving big duallys. That's when I maybe like 11, 12 years old, around that age.
Were you parking those things, Lucius?
Parking, man. I'm talking
backing
about
up trailers?
Yoking it. Yeah, four horse sled trailer.
There you go.
Four horses to a sled. I got a long gooseneck trailer behind me, brother. Wow. And I'm 12 years old in a big ass dually.
Yeah. Dad told you to jump up there.
Four drunk cowboys in there.
Yeah.
Can you drive?
Yeah. That's how I learned how to drive.
That's impressive.
Hey, boy, you better get us home. And don't scratch my truck while you're at it. That's how I learned out there.
Heavy pressure, bro.
Yeah.
It made me hone some skills.
Yeah, that's how you stay composed.
Backing
in the pocket
up that
right
trailer would.
Yes, and then you got those hips on the dually.
Yeah,
so you got to watch your turns, make sure you don't rub against anything. Right
wide,
there, man. Oh my god,
that was the CB handle on our dually. Was the one tight fit?
Hey.
That was my dad's. Everybody was talking CBs in the 70s.
One tight fit.
My dad's CB handle was the one tight fit.
One tight fit.
One tight
come
fit.
Back.
One tight fit. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I got to investigate that a little bit. Sounds sweet, though. Check out this story right here. This 8-year-old girl.
Call Sack on that?
No, I just want to. Is it a code for something?
I don't know what you're saying.
Usually, you know, it's
he's talking about the blue dually, man.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You know, usually it's like
you're talking about those little fins out, you know, the little sides.
Okay, I get it.
My mom is just blowing, just went right over the top of my friend's bicycle in it.
Oh.
Okay, that just could, like that, ran that right, and she'd had 100 beers and just went right over the top of it. It was all mangled and
Whiskey dents.
Yeah, whiskey dents.
Yeah, we got an 8-year-old girl, 8 years old, with some wheel skills. Listen to this.
Police outside of Cleveland, Ohio, spotted a white Nissan Rogue, perfect name, driving erratically Sunday. Behind the wheel, folks, an 8-year-old little girl, 8 years old. She grabbed 400 big ones from her family, hopped into the family car, drove herself 10 miles to her Target store. Officers found her sipping a cappuccino. She was fine, admitted. She hit a mailbox on the way. What a great story.
Hit the mailbox.
Hope it wasn't the brick mailbox.
I ran over a wooden one once.
Yeah.
First time I actually drove.
Really?
As I was learning,
you go in there and tell the people that you just burned off?
No, we had to buy them a whole new mailbox.
Oh, so it must have been neighbors.
Yeah, it was neighbors.
Yeah, okay.
It was in the neighborhood.
Definitely.
Cruising around.
If it wasn't your neighborhood, you definitely would have peeled off.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, go, man. Go, go, go.
go, man.
Were you with your dad or your mom?
No, my dad.
Your dad.
My dad felt bad. He was like, this is probably my fault.
But I couldn't. I mean, to this day, I can't even really drive with my mom in the car because she's so scared and uptight about just...
Really?
Yeah.
Do you drive erratically or is she just scared?
No, she's just scared. She's just scared. And when we were first getting our license or whatever, if she was the one that was in the car, I mean, just you'd rather not. You're like, this isn't even fun.
Yeah.
Because you're just
now kinda, they're stressing you out.
You're treating it like we're on some roller coaster right now. Like we're only going 150, Mom. Let's chill.
I was driving with Bennett one time. He was like 13 and we drove. We were going like just kind of night practice and stuff. And we ended up going into a roadblock. Like a police roadblock, like they were directing traffic and there were lights everywhere. And Bennett just like, I'm like, man, do you want to pull? He goes, no, I can handle this.
I just, got it, Pops.
I just sat there like waving at the cops as we're driving. Like, yeah, keep to your left over here. You know, and Bennett just kind of wheeled it around.
I got it, Dad. Hand me the gum out of the glove compartment
right there.
And a packet of mustard, just in case I got to pass this test. You sit right here, Dad. Yeah. Chew it up real quick.
Yeah.
Let's see. Man, I don't even know why I prepped for this segment because I messed it all up.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, I messed it all the way up. I got
Brian interrupting you, you know, attacking you for your points.
Interruptosaurus Rex. Yeah, I got news bloopers right here because I know the ladies love news bloopers, so they can just sit in the car and laugh and not have to, you know, get beat down with sports because they have a Tolo husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have some... did you know women are getting happy ending massages?
Women are
massages.
Massages. I would love to have a
massages.
Can I get a sausage?
Can I get a massage?
Massages, bro. Man,
it's this new bit we're doing. We give you a massage and you get to eat sausage the whole time. It's really a win-win for everybody. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's called the yoni massage. It's a type of sensual massage. It is a tantric practice.
Oh,
it aims at creating intimate connections.
Yeah,
they're doing this legally.
Very yoni.
Yeah, how are they skirting the rules here?
I don't know. That's why I'm
Bob Kraft's on the phone right now.
Getting over him. Once again.
Yeah.
No, this is not prostitution. This is a yoni.
It's a yoni massage.
Please, respect my body.
A main goal of a yoni massage is to help a person feel more in tune with their body and more comfortable in their skin.
Hmm.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
My happy ending too.
It's under physical
is therapy. Deshaun Watson an investor?
What are we doing here? It costs about $300 to $600. Situation.
60 minutes? Is this a 90 minute?
Yeah, it's a 60 minute thing.
Good business.
It is a good business, and I'm glad that you said that because you know who else thought it was a good business brought us? The guy who used to be Barney.
Oh, really?
Barney the damn dinosaur is a tantric massage sex guy.
Really? He receives them or he gives them?
He gives them. His name is David Joyner.
Yeah.
He played Barney in the 90s all the way up to the 2000s, bro. He owns a tantric massage practice.
Yeah.
About 30 clients that he calls goddesses.
He's
getting away with it, bro.
So this is specific.
He's getting away with it.
Amazing.
So it's only female clientele in this particular yoni massage.
Yeah, $350 per session. He says he helps release energy and balance their chakras.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A lot of these ladies have good gigs.
Get the hell out of here, fam!
This is crazy. He's cracked the code.
That's amazing. Good for him.
Man.
Barney, you love me.
Yeah.
Is this the Barney that's in Texas?
This is Barney the damn dinosaur.
Yeah.
Hey, he's from here, right?
And girls?
Yeah.
He's from here, yeah.
Yeah,
I met him at my mechanic a couple of years back.
The tantric sex guy?
Barney? Yeah. Yeah.
What did he say, bro?
We had the same van, as a matter of fact. He was using his van to travel around. He was telling me this story about he met Whitney Houston at the Grammys, and she gave him a big old hug and a kiss on the side of the cheek and said, thank you for everything you do for the kids.
That's what he told you?
Yeah. And he told me his Whitney Houston story.
Okay. As long as he didn't say, like, hey, man, your back look a little crooked.
You're interested in the
yoni. I'm straighten that out for you.
I got a massage here for you. And then I was like, man, Whitney, you look a little stressed. Would you like a yalo?
Yalo.
Hey, got a yoni here for you.
Yoni?
Yoni.
Yeah. Oh, yonis. By the way, yoni means sacred cave or sacred space.
Both.
Yoni. Hey.
Both,
the hot pocket.
I guess I'll do this. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You could follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner and still champ comes from the KMC Masterpiece with Cowboy COO Stephen Jones. This guy is basically a billionaire, and they're asking him about these nuts.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't care about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys.
Thank you, guys.
Man, that was beautiful harmony there between Hagee and Corey and the balancing act there. D's nutsing a billionaire, as you said there.
Yeah, couldn't wait to explain it, too.
Oh, he was excited.
No, I've never heard of it. Oh, okay, well. Oh,
perfect.
Let me give you the tea, honey.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Let me tell you about this.
Tell you about this, baby. All right, I'll be black tomorrow on a Feel Good Friday. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and that is my time. Y'all look up that stuff about Barney. It's wild.
There he goes. LA Live with Lucius Alexander.
Is he in the Barney costume while he's giving these yonies? I'd pay an extra $50 for that.
He said the Barney costume is the one that made him want to do it. It gave him the inspiration for being so hot in those costumes or something like that. Then he found it. He's so full of crap, bro.
Con artist of the year. Dude, he did have like 17 hustles when I was talking to him. He's like into every single business. So I imagine he's explored all angles.
He's really zeroed in on
and caves.
Caves and angles.
Business.
Incredible.
Well, Chuck. Let's do around the bases. We got World Series fallout and five big moves that could make the Rangers contenders again. That's next.